Good evening. My name is Cezanne. I'm also known as Bill Ewing. And I want to say that I'm glad you're here on this really overly warm early spring day. And I also want to welcome the people who might be listening to this Dharma Talk on a podcast or streaming from our website. I had the Jisha bring out my set of Orioke bowls because tonight what I'd like to talk about is my practice as Tenzo, as the cook, which is what the Tenzo is, for this Sangha. I've been doing that for a good while now. Actually, initially, I wanted to say, welcome to the Thursday evening practice. Two periods of Zazen with Ken Hin and a Dharma talk. Sounds like it's right off the Buddhist cafe menu. Hey, Manjushri, two periods of Zazen and a Dharma talk. Walk it. That's to go in short order language. I wish it was that easy to order up some Zazen and take it home and do it at my leisure. The Dharma talk is something else, though. That's a kind of tall order. Incomparably profound and infinitely subtle. And I kept thinking, what can I say that's profound and subtle? What can I give as an example to show how profound, how strong, how meaningful something can be, and at the same time, how subtle it can be? And immediately the example that I think of is, well, black-eyed peas. They have a good, strong, earthy flavor, and the way we fix them, I'm from the South, from Georgia. I grew up in Atlanta. And the way they get fixed down there, there's a lot of spices in it. And not just heat, but, I mean, there's rosemary and sage and I put some basil in there and, maybe a little bit of bay. And I put I don't fix them the way my mother did. I don't put fat back in them or streakaline because as Tenzo, I have to make a vegan meal. Not just vegetarian, but vegan, which means there's no animal products of any kind. So I just put a little tiny, like an eighth of a teaspoon of smoked paprika in there. And I've had people come up and say, did you put fat back in there? Because I could taste something smoky. It was very subtle. So that would be my example of profound and subtle. And during our Zazen Kai, after three periods of Zazen and a Dharma talk, and then another period of Zazen, we serve an Orioke meal. And Orioke means just enough. Enough. In sign language, this is the cup, and that's like you have just enough in your cup. And that's when we get served, we signal the server that that's enough. You don't get served, you don't want to be served more than you're going to eat because we clean our bowls afterwards. Well, when I first came to Zen, I was like fascinated by all the details, all the little things that were going on, different drums and bells and clackers and different things going off. And of course, my mind was full of everything that was on the wall, you know, that I was projecting right out of my mind onto the wall. And then just trying to think about my breath. And then we got to the liturgy, to the chanting. And I was just struck, even to the short evening gatha. Let me respectfully remind you. And that last line, you know, do not squander your life. I was already in tears, like, have I squandered my life? What have I been doing? I got hooked in right away, you know. The liturgy is some of the most beautiful parts, and the dedications to what we chant are just, they were intriguing to me. And the chant for the meal gatha has so much meaning. Before we even get to being served, we have this really beautiful chant, which is about how to pay attention or what to pay attention to while you're eating, and what eating is about. So after I'd been practicing for a couple of months and decided that I was going to be committed here, committed to this practice, I had been to a few Zazen Kais, and I'd had a couple of Orioki meals. I copied down the Orioki chant, and I got some bowls at home that were nested and wrapped them up with some bandanas and practiced that chant. And I started thinking about how I eat and what I eat and how it comes to me. And after a year, at the year-end session, at the one that I believe was called the Three Crones in 2003, the week between Christmas and New Year's, the person who had done most of the cooking that I knew as a Tenzo, his name was Daikin. And the three crones were Sensei Roshi, Sensei Seisen, and Sensei Joan Halifax. And none of them were quite ready to be a Roshi yet, which just means a venerated older person. But they were all mature women, and all of them intelligent and sensitive and practitioners, and they were all teachers. And they decided themselves to call it the Three Crones. Well, Joan Halifax or Daikin, who was then the Tenzo here at the Village Zendo, negotiated something between them, and Daikin would leave to go and move his practice to Upaya in Arizona. And he would be with Sensei Joan Halifax. So in the last month or so, in January, February, before he was leaving, I asked him about being Tenzo and what that was about and how to go about it. And I had, over that time, sort of filled in, assisted a little bit, and found out a little more about it. And so my first Orioki meal, which I was extremely nervous about, was, of course, the menu was white rice in the first bowl, in the second bowl, black-eyed peas, Southern style. And in the third bowl, I did stewed tomatoes and spinach. A very Southern kind of thing. Only in the South, they'd probably do collard greens instead of spinach. And I've been doing that ever since. I had no idea the importance of the Tenzo in terms of a Zen practice or in terms of the monastery. And I think it was maybe a year later when Roshi very appropriately introduced me to a guest as, this is our Tenzo. And of course I did a little bow. And I sort of demurred and said, I am one of several people who cook, because there are several Tinzos that cook, because I cook in town. There are several Tinzos whose food I've eaten and admired who cook during our long summer ongo. And there are usually one or two people who share all those responsibilities, because that's three meals a day served mostly in this style of orioki. And later Roshi kind of told me, "You're an important person. The Tinzo is always an important position. If the food's not good, the practice isn't good. You know, people don't want to eat lousy food." I was always surprised at why people enjoyed my food. I made stuff that I like to eat. So, you know, because I really pay attention to it then and make sure it's cooked right, because I know how I like to eat. And I was very moved when people told me they really liked it or wanted a recipe. I was never taught growing up how to cook. My mother was a good cook. She was a better baker. She made wonderful cakes and apple pies that I thought were heaven. But always for my birthday, my brother and sister and father, we always got our favorite meal. She would fix our favorite meal. And for me, it was just like black-eyed peas, brown rice, squash, summer squash, sliced tomatoes. You know, it was all green beans. You know, it was all vegetables. And she was like, "Don't you want any meat?" And I was kind of like, "Well, you can make some fried chicken if you want to." "Okay, I'll make fried chicken." But I just wanted the vegetables. So I was happy to do that, but come the next Zazen Kai, I had to come up with another menu. I mean, I'm not going to be doing beans and rice every time. And the third bowl doesn't always have to be something that's cooked. It can be something that's raw, like fruit or whatever. There are many other details that go into being a Tinzo. At the time, we were downstairs in this building. We had moved from Varick Street, where I first started, to this building downstairs. And in the space that we had downstairs, we had a stovetop and a refrigerator, a half refrigerator. And we actually had a kitchen, a place to store the utensils, and I could do the cooking and preparation there. Here we just have a sink in that room that's actually an office, and the refrigerator is on the other side of the entry over there, and the microwave. So gets moved into the office, and the bowls and everything and all the utensils get set up in there. And so that's an added thing that has to go on before we serve the food. But I start usually about 2 weeks before thinking about the menu, and I call it the koan of the menu. What am I going to fix? You know, it just needs to be a grain of some kind in the first bowl, usually, and something cooked in the second bowl, and something raw or cooked in the third bowl. And there's a lot of leeway here. Our Roshi here was a Tinzo for a number of years at the place where she practiced. And she has a particular appreciation for it. And I start about 2 weeks before the Zazen Kai thinking about the weather, what is fresh, what I want to serve the bodhisattvas and the future Buddhas that will be practicing in 2 weeks. Because I don't want to just nurture their body. I want to nurture their eyes. It's got to look good. It's got to be presented in a certain way. And I consider, you know, what the weather is going to be like on that day. Is it going to be hot? Maybe I need to serve something that's cold. Or if it's going to be cold, maybe I need to serve something that's hot and maybe has some spice heat in it. I have to be aware of if anybody has allergies, you know, specific allergies like to nuts or other things that, and I have to actually, there are a few cases where I prepare just a small amount of something else to be served to those people that have allergies. So 1 week before, 2 weeks before, I am preparing the menu and thinking about it. And tomorrow, I will type up the menu for the Zazen Kai that's going to occur on the 12th. And on Monday, I've been discussing it with an assistant and one or two other people, one or two other Tenzos, actually, that have cooked for us. And thought about the food a lot. And I'm ready to set the menu, type it up so that the head server can announce it. And I like to announce the ingredients, so if anybody's allergic to, I don't know what, spinach or something like that, they can know to refuse that bowl. Then on Tuesday, I usually do the shopping. Along with the assistant, what parts he's going to prepare. And then on Wednesday, I begin cleaning, cutting, chopping, getting it all ready for cooking on Thursday and bringing some of it in, that if it can be cooked that far in advance. And Friday, I do some more cooking and bring that in and set the kitchen up in the afternoon and then get everything ready so that when I walk in, an hour before, because I have to make sure there's coffee here and tea and a lot of other stuff. And it's all about paying attention, just like I do on the cushion. It's just about thinking about it and making a plan and at the same time being flexible enough to change if necessary, even sometimes at the last minute. And there are always people that sign up to come and don't come, and people that don't sign up to come and do. And it's always a wonder to me that somehow I pay attention to my kind of gut feeling about, well, it's going to be a really hot day. People are going to go to the beach. And instead of the beach, they come to the beach here on these cushions and they sit. So I've had some close calls on having Oriyoki, just enough food for everybody to fill their three bowls and be nurtured for another day, another afternoon, for an interview with a teacher, for a little bit of Zazen. And for me, that has become not only a pleasure, but an honor to have done that for, now it's about 14 years that I've done a lot of cooking. I know because the file that I keep all the menus in that I've written up is getting big, and I now have Tenzo's notes, File 1, Tenzo's Notes, File 2. I've also written a couple of menus up when we had a regular journal and had the bowls photographed. And there are a number of other things. I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of stuff that I was thinking about talking about with this. One thing I wanted to mention that really kind of keyed me into being a Tenzo, one of the first things that I read, and it was a small book that was given to me by one of the early members of this group, who is now one of our legal advisors. And She actually, I found out even later, that she had been a tenzo for one of the summer ongos. And she gave me this little thin book called Notes to the Zen Cook. It is a fascicle that Dogen, the father of our form of practice, wrote very early on before he kind of formalized his practice into Zen. He had been practicing Chan, meditation, with some other teachers, and he visited China, and which was very difficult during the politically, during the time that he did that. They would pull into a port and they would have to wait sometimes for weeks before they could actually get off the boat. There would be a quarantine, or there would be, the politics had to be resolved. But he talked to a couple of the tenzos, the Zen cooks, in one or two monasteries that he visited while he was there. And I was completely moved by what they had told him. I was looking at that again as I considered doing this talk, and one of the tenzos that he spoke with was 68 years old. That's the age that I am this year. And it was quite interesting what he had to say. I won't tell you the story. I'll intrigue you to read the book for yourself. It is a fascicle, very short piece, maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 pages at the most. And it's really beautiful. Dogen's style of writing is very clear and pretty direct and reaches poetry at points. What I was really moved by, though, in this book, in this fascicle, was a poem that his teacher, that Dogen's teacher, had written. And I remember very distinctly, I love poetry, and I remember very distinctly reading that poem and a few days later doing interview with Roshi. And I was not working on koans or anything then. And I asked if I could give her a poem. And she said yes, and appropriately closed her eyes. And then I recited this poem for her. One, seven, three, five. The truth you search for cannot be grasped. As night advances, a bright moon shines over the entire ocean. The dragon's jewels are in every wave. Looking for the moon? It's in this wave and in the next. I would like to end there, but I think what I really want to end with is the Buddhist diner. Manjushri. Two periods of zazen and some kenhen, and the Dharma talk to go. I hope you can take some of this with you and that you can receive as much out of your practice of meditation as I have.